Welcome to the Sounds of Success, brought to you by the National Association of Professional Martial Artists. This audio magazine is a tool for generating profitable ideas and for taking your business to new levels of excellence and performance. Now here's your host, Mark Graydon.
Hello, NAPMA members, and welcome to the Sounds of Success. I'm Mark Graydon. This month, we focus on some core skills needed to run a consistently successful martial arts school, brought to you by one of the best in the business. IFC's Rick Bell is here to focus on operational skills for creating and maintaining a successful school. The new NAPMA has a strong focus on the goal of bringing more students into your school. Before Rick Bell, we have a new segment with our resident marketing genius, Toby Milroy. The marketing campaign that is in your package this month is a tremendous resource for growing your enrollment. Toby will be helping you fill in the gaps in implementing these marketing strategies with helpful tips and time-tested techniques for maximizing your marketing efforts and gaining top value from your NAPMA membership. But first, let's take a look at this month's Innovations DVD. First up, we honor two of the most venerable and respected men in American martial arts. Dr. Mon Ji teaches some spectacular Burmese bando techniques and stretching from his presentations at the Joe Lewis Black Belt Research Conference. This year, in October, will be the 10th anniversary of the Joe Lewis Black Belt Research Conference, which has been a life-changing experience for so many who have attended. Then, 9th degree black belt world champion Jeff Smith is one of kickboxing's founding fathers. He's here to teach a class of mile-high karate students a basic, fun, and effective kickboxing class designed to get the average student ready for sparring. Then, in our Easy Defense segment, Peyton Quinn and his team teach you the do's and don'ts of striking in a real encounter. The ability to perform techniques of any kind will be severely limited under the influence of adrenaline. As you will see, techniques that employ gross motor skills are far more reliable in a real altercation. Then in our bonus Advanced Classroom Calisthenics segment, UBC creator Jim Graydon and his staff share with you the latest in calisthenics for building the strength and conditioning in your students. If you plug these muscle-crushing exercises into your class, your students are sure to thank you for them. Then in a bonus, we bring you to the floor of the U.S. Open Karate Championships, where I speak with some of the hottest competitors on the circuit. These are the stars of the martial arts sports, and NAPMA is excited to help you get to know them better. So this month is Jeff Smith with basic kickboxing, Mon Ji with Burmese bando, Peyton Quinn with striking for self-defense, calisthenics with UBC, and the stars of the tournament circuit from the U.S. Open. And it's all on the NAPMA Innovations DVD this month, so be sure to check it out. Next up, let's check in with NAPMA COO Toby Milroy with strategies for maximizing your marketing campaign.
If you're going to get objections, this is when you'll get them.
A very useful and very powerful tool to help you enroll students, a money-back guarantee. Our industry has overlooked this very powerful sheet of paper that can solve a lot of our problems for far too long. What is a money-back guarantee? How does it work? Well, the standard that people are used to hearing is 30 days. That's what people are accustomed to. As I've spoken many times before, I've spoken about trying to get people into their comfort zone. Well, the 30-day money-back guarantee is something they're used to hearing, and it causes them to go into their comfort zone and not have a lot of unsureness about joining your martial arts program, because fear is what keeps people from coming on board with us. Not necessarily the fear of getting hurt in our classes, but the fear of making a bad decision about spending their hard-earned money. So the enrollment guarantee takes away a lot of the problems that you have. Now, don't be afraid to use them. They're very common in America. Just about every 800 number, every infomercial that is on television that's selling a product always has a 30-day money-back guarantee. They have to do that to sell product. Now, do an awful lot of people call for their money back? Obviously not, or they couldn't continue to offer that. In fact, statistics show that about 10% of the people will call and ask for their money back, and that's very rare. Now, that is with a product. That is where there are no personal skills involved. When you have to face-to-face someone and ask for your money back, you have a whole other realm that you enter into. And we as martial arts school owners and instructors deal face-to-face with people. Therefore, a 100% money back guarantee is very safe for us to use. When do we pull it out? Do we advertise it? Do we make it common knowledge that we have this 100% money back guarantee? No, we don't, because we don't have to. The only time we would have to make it known is if we had an objection when we were enrolling someone. And the objection was something like, well, I'm just not sure, or I need to go home and ask my husband, or all of those things that you've heard time in, time out. That's when the money-back guarantee really becomes an excellent tool for you to use. You won't advertise. Some people ask me when they find out about the money-back guarantee, they say, well, should I run that in my advertising? That seems like a nice, unique selling point for me. The answer is no. You don't want to plant the seed in anyone's mind that there is necessarily a need for a money-back guarantee, because that, by definition, might tell them that, well, this might be a risky venture. And of course, it's not. So you don't advertise your money-back guarantee, but you have it in your drawer, tucked away, and it is what I call an objection killer. It'll kill 98% of all the objections you will have in the closing segment in the office when you're enrolling someone. It is an objection killer. Now, what I'm going to do is read for you, word for word, the introductory enrollment guarantee that comes with the no intro enrollment tour. This is out of the manual, and this is word for word. Now, it was not just haphazardly put together. Each one of these words is crafted, and you will see as I read it how it more or less lets you off the hook and causes the person that's asking for their money back to be on the spot. They have to come in and communicate that to you, and that can be uncomfortable. Now, I'm going to read it to you. And it says, the staff and instructors here at, name of your school, hereby promise every student that if during your 30-day introductory period, for any reason you feel our staff has not been professional, courteous, and always willing to help you or your child learn the material needed for advancement, or if you or your child are not completely satisfied with our program, we will refund any amount of your enrollment you feel is appropriate up to 100%. At our school, name of your school, our success record speaks for itself. We strongly believe in serving each individual student and the specific needs he or she may have. If you want an accredited professional martial arts education center to provide enjoyable martial arts training for you, your child, or your entire family, then our school, name of your school, is the school for you. We prove that by offering you this exclusive, no-risk guarantee. And it is signed at the bottom by the chief instructor of the school with his rank and so on and so forth underneath. Now, as I read through that, you could see, once again, we more or less put the responsibility on the back of the person to come in and say, you haven't lived up to your promise. Now, we said we'll refund any amount of your enrollment that you feel is appropriate up to 100%. You have to tell us how much that is. Now, I've been doing this personally in my center for 4 years. Enrolled hundreds and hundreds of students with this procedure. I've had to refund money twice in all of those hundreds and hundreds of enrollments. I would tell you that very rarely will you ever have to give money back. If you do, if someone comes in and asks for their money back, gladly give it to them. You are going to hire a salesman for the refund you give that person. They are going to speak good about you and your community for years to come. I promise you that will happen, so gladly give it back. But that's a rarity. No one's going to come and ask for their money back, and you will find that. Now, this is an objection killer. How do we use it as such? Well, first of all, we call this our special introductory program. This is what we enroll every student on. This is what we use in our advertisements. This is what we advertise. Call and find out about our special introductory program. We don't put a price with it or anything like that. We call it the special introductory program. Let's say we're in a close and the objection comes up. Well, I want to think about it for a while. Just give me some time to think about it. You respond with, Mrs. Jones, good. Because we have a special program just for people like you that have a little bit of doubt that puts their mind at ease. You reach in your drawer and you pull out your guarantee. And you say, Mrs. Jones, it is our special enrollment guarantee, and we offer this for every student. In other words, when you start with us, you'll have a full 30 days to enjoy the program, to get to know all of us, and just more or less to see what martial arts training is all about. And it is at no risk to you. As you can see, 100% of your enrollment, every penny you invest is completely refundable to you. Now, Mrs. Jones, we know from experience that you're going to love the program, that Johnny's going to love the classes. We know that, but we understand how you feel. Many of the parents of our best students felt this way when they joined. But let me share with you what they found. They found that with the enrollment guarantee, they had absolutely no risk. And once they got started with us, they thoroughly enjoyed the classes, and they were glad that we helped them make the decision. So let's get Johnny started today. And it's just that simple. Once again, if they say, well, I want to go home and ask my husband, you respond with, Ms. Jones, we've got a special program to meet that need. And what it is our 30-day guaranteed enrollment program. That allows you to sign Johnny up today, and then you can go home and visit with his dad for 30 days at no risk, no cost to you whatsoever. All we ask is that you enroll Johnny, get him started, because, Mrs. Jones, we find the hardest thing usually for people to do is just take the first step and get started. Now, we know that you're here and you came in today and we're ready to take care of the paperwork, and we know from experience that if we'll go ahead and do that today on your first visit, Johnny can get started right away enjoying the benefits of the program, and you don't have anything to worry about, because once again, our special introductory program takes care of any problem that could possibly arise. Now, that's how to use that. Should we allow them to just walk out of the office? How do we handle? I get this question, as you know, I do seminars all over the country, and I'm somewhere every month, every couple of weeks, I'm in a different part of the country, and I hear the same objections continue to come up. They say, people ask me, school owners, at what point, how do we keep pushing? Do we keep pushing? And I always respond by saying, do you believe what you do for people is good? Do you believe it's beneficial? They always answer, yeah, I do. If you do that, you owe it to yourself as a school owner and to the person you're trying to enroll to do everything you can to get them to make the decision today. So when they're in the office and they want to go think about it, they want to go talk to their husband, what I found is that if you'll just keep talking with them, just keep visiting with them a few more minutes, their level of comfortability comes up. You see, the only thing that's happening when they're trying to walk out of your office and not enroll, they're not quite comfortable enough with you, your program, or the cost that's involved. People make friends by talking. You know that. The more you can speak with this person, the more comfortable they're going to get. How many of you have ever met someone in the first few minutes you spoke with them, you really didn't like them that much, but as you kept speaking with them, you started to like this person. You really struck up a rapport with them, and you liked them a lot. Well, it's the same thing here. You will often find, if you've gone through the entire enrollment process and you've pulled out the guarantee and they're still kind of sitting there going, well, I don't know, if you'll just say something like, Ms. Jones, is there any area that I've not covered with you today? What specifically are you looking for in a martial arts program? And just start a conversation that way. And they'll say, well, I don't know. Because they really don't know what they're looking for. But just the fact that you'll continue to speak with them and focus on them many, many times will cause them to be motivated to go ahead and make the decision that day. Now, that's how we use a 100% money-back guarantee. And it's a very strong tool. And I strongly encourage you to start to use it today. I'm Rick Bell, and I've enjoyed this segment. And I'll see you next time.
The Sounds of Success is produced in Clearwater, Florida. It is intended exclusively for members of the National Association of Professional Martial Artists and their staffs.
We're going to work on where the rubber meets the road, and that is closing, actual closing techniques that you can use in your martial arts center. Closing techniques that you as the studio owner, chief instructor can use, but not only that your staff, more importantly, your staff can use. Because what I find generally across the country is that chief instructors usually close fairly well. They're very confident individuals. Their staff oftentimes needs work and needs help, needs tutoring, if you will. That's exactly what NAPMA does, and that's what this segment is about, is closing the sale. Now, we're going to give you some tools to use today that you may or may not have ever thought of using in actual closing situations, but they're going to help you and make your job a lot easier. First of all, let's talk about closing, what it is. Well, nothing happens in America, in the world, in business until a sale is made. If you're not bringing new students in, obviously you're not going to survive as a martial arts school instructor. Therefore, you can give the best enrollment tour or the best intro lesson and do the best advertising. You can do the best of everything. But if you don't close this person and literally sign them up, enroll them, it's all for naught. So closing is very important, and it is the area that most of us have the greatest amount of fear and anxiety in. Now let's talk about why. We associate closing as being stress-related, as being an anxiety situation where we're asking someone for their money. And for some reason, we all perceive that as being a negative thing, but it's not. It's a positive thing. You see, it's what keeps the economy and the wheels turning in America is sales, asking someone for money. We have to do that to stay in business. People have a built-in resistance to making a buying decision. It's not about you. It's not a personal thing. It's not about your school. It's a built-in resistance to making that buying decision. Now, what we're going to do is lower the anxiety level associated with that buying decision, and we're going to use some procedures and some tools to do that. I like to use analogies from the martial arts world because I am a martial artist. For many years, I have been. What I like to tell guys is closing is like competing in a tournament. When you first started going to tournaments, you were a little bit apprehensive, a little bit scared when you went into the ring to spar for the first time. But as you kept going, you started getting more comfortable and you started relying on your training, your instincts to get you across. And it's the same thing in closing. You learn some basic moves, quote unquote, to use, but then you rely on your instincts and it will get quite comfortable and quite fun, and you will get very, very good at closing with a little bit of practice, a little bit of confidence. First of all, let's talk about where the close takes place. It happens in the office, all right, simply because the office is the best place to have quiet time and take the person away from the distractions of what's going on your floor, on the deck, in your school. Good things and bad things associated with an office. First of all, think about it. When do you find yourself in an office? It's either your doctor's office, your attorney's office, your accountant's office, or someone else's office where there is some fairly serious business taking place. Now, I want you to understand that when people come into an office, they associate that with stress because that's where business takes place. And their history tells them that every time they've been in an office, it's been to do something very serious. So the shortest amount of time, the most efficient way we can operate in an office is going to help us in our enrollment procedure. So we don't want to spend a lot of time in the office. We want to get in there, get our work done, get this person enrolled, and get out and get on with our life, get on with classes. So we're going to talk about how to do that when you come into the office, how to not spend a lot of time in there. Everybody has a desk in their office. One of the mistakes, a classic mistake that's made many times, is you as an instructor or the person that's enrolling the student will sit across the desk from them. In other words, you're on your side of the desk, they're on their side. Now that is an adversarial role, and that puts people on guard. It's a psychological thing. It's subtle. But let me tell you, the difference in superstar selling and mediocrity, or maybe not selling very well at all, are the little things. The little things don't mean a lot, they mean everything, someone once said. So it's just the little things that put you on top and give you the edge in this business. You're sitting on the same side of the desk with the prospect when you come in. You want to sit on the same side. Where does your friend sit if they come in to see you? Do they sit across the desk from you? No, you sit on the same side. You sit and you talk and visit. What we're doing with people is we're not selling them anything. We're not necessarily signing them up for anything. We're becoming friends with them. When we become friends with someone, they naturally, the next step is they want to take our suggestion or buy whatever we have. So we're just making friends with him. We sit on the same side of the desk. If you have a round table like this one, it's excellent because you can sit on the same side with the prospect. If you've ever had an insurance salesman come to you or someone selling advertising, they make a point to come around to your side of the desk. In fact, they ask you, can I come around and show you some of our information? It's very important. It's the same procedure that we're using here, and it works. Now, your enemy in the closing, in the office, is something called dead air, silence. Now, there's a time for what we call a planned pause, but generally speaking, there's too much silence, and that's simply because you're stumbling over what to say and you're coming to an uncomfortable area that you're, gosh, I hate to get to this part because now is when I have to ask them for the money. Now, your anxiety level goes up, and they read that on you, and theirs goes up proportionately. So what we're going to do now is give you some tools to use to take away that silence, that where you're stumbling. And you're still going to use your planned pause at a certain time, but we are going to occupy the time of the prospect with a tool. So you must understand, to this point, we've done a lot of things. It's only taken about 15 minutes to do the tour, but we've done a lot of things correct. That's how we're here. That's how all of this is going to work. I'm going to show you our first tool we use, and that is called a Karate Student Profile. And that's a sheet that basically lists some areas here such as self-esteem, self-confidence, aggressiveness, self-discipline, school grades, school conduct, home conduct, and energy level. You have a low, average, or high area to rate the student in. And this is something you can draw up on your own word processor, or you can get this through NAPMA. If you'll call NAPMA, they'll provide these things for you. Now, how do we use this? Well, as we come into the office and sit down, this is Mrs. Jones. We always use Ms. Jones. That's the proverbial prospect and little Johnny. So we're going to sit down with Mrs. Jones on the same side of the desk, and I'm going to pull out this Karate Student Profile, and I'm going to do something that's very powerful here. I'm going to take little Johnny and get him fitted for a uniform. The uniform is something that we misuse a lot of time in our enrollment process. In other words, we put them in a uniform, then give them an intro class, then we're trying to enroll them. You understand, the uniform is a prize. It's a carrot we can dangle in front of them, and they want that. And I'm going to show you how to use that. We come into the office and we sit down and I say, Mrs. Jones, one of the things we ask parents to do is to fill out a questionnaire on their student, on their child, and rate them in some various areas. We like to keep up with this. So would you take just a moment and fill this out? I'll be right back. I'm going to get Johnny fitted for a uniform. At that point, I would get up and leave, walk away, and guess where I go? I go to the pro shop and I put a uniform on Johnny. Now, I put the top on him. I don't put the pants on him, obviously. I drape the pants over my arm and I hold the belt in my hand. When we come back into the office, what does Mom say when I say, how does he look, Mrs. Jones?
Wow, he looks great.
Of course. Parents love to see the kids in the karate uniform. Very powerful closing tool here. Now, Ms. Jones has occupied her time with the student profile, and that's what it's for. Now, what happens if I walk out to get Johnny fitted for a uniform and she sits there quietly? She starts thinking and she starts talking herself out of making whatever buying decision she's going to make today, simply because when you give a person time to think, they'll always talk themselves out of it because of that resistance to a buying decision. Now, we know what we have to offer her is very valuable and it's worth much more than we're going to ask her for. So we owe it to ourselves not to let her talk herself out of that. So we give her this to fill out. We bring Johnny back with the uniform. I have the belt in my hand and I say, Mrs. Jones, one of the things we do is we like to show you how to tie the belt with Johnny because it takes a little practice. The belt is extra long and you tie the belt on little Johnny. And then you untie the belt and hand it to Mom. And you say, Miss Jones, now you guys try it. Let me help you. What are you doing here? You're getting her involved, very involved with the whole process, tying the belt on little Johnny. That's how we use the student profile. From here, we're going to start talking about how much these lessons cost. Now, you haven't even mentioned money yet. You understand you've conducted an entire tour and spent 20 minutes with this person and have not mentioned money one time. You mention money when you want to mention it, and this is how you do it. All of you have a schedule. Everyone has their class schedule. You need to make up some class schedules that you only include in the enrollment kit. In other words, your regular students don't receive this version of the schedule because it has prices at the bottom. At the bottom here it says verbatim, group classes are attended twice weekly, $65 per month. Below that it says enrollment fees for our students are paid only once, $84 upon enrollment. Now, again, these numbers, whatever your monthly rate is, adjust it and put it there. If it's 69, put 69. The only thing I suggest is that these two numbers total up to $149, to $149. Whatever the combination of these two numbers, make them equal $149, because we find that $149 is a price point that people are very comfortable with. They'll pay $149 for a pair of tennis shoes for their child. They will certainly enroll them for $149. Here's how we use this. I pull out the schedule. I say, Mrs. Jones, as I spoke earlier, Johnny's going to start in the white belt classes with other beginners. Those classes are Tuesday and Thursday night at 6:30. The classes last 45 minutes. They're generally over right when they're supposed to be. We don't like to keep you waiting. We know you're busy. Johnny will need to be here 5 to 10 minutes before class time. Now, you'll speak for 2 or 3 minutes simply about the classes themselves. We're making mom feel comfortable here. So you're speaking just about the classes themselves. Now, I'm going to go down to the price. Now, it's at the bottom of the page. Very important rule to remember. Before you ask someone for something, always give them something. I'm going to give Mrs. Jones something, then I'm going to ask her for something. What I'm going to give her, it's not going to cost me anything. I'm going to tell her that Johnny can make classes up. If he misses 1 week, he can make them up the following week at no additional charge. Then I'm going to tell her how much our classes are. Watch how I do this. Mrs. Jones, we know from time to time kids miss classes, and if Johnny misses class 1 week, he can make those classes up the following week at no additional charge. Our group classes are just $65 per month. Enrollment fees are paid only once upon enrollment, and they include Johnny's uniform, his belt, his new student information kit, his first patch, as well as any study materials he'll use in class. So to get Johnny started, it's just the $84, and of course the first month, and that comes to $149. You can take care of that with check or credit card. Which would you prefer?
I'd like to write a check.
That's wonderful. Now, notice what I did there. I pointed the pen at Mrs. Jones. Now, what that's doing, that's telling her she has to make a decision. Now, it's very subtle, but it's very powerful when I took the pen and said, which would you prefer? Now, the wording that I used is verbatim what you need to use all the way down your close to the end. Notice I said classes are $65. I didn't say classes are $65. Once again, these are subtle things, but they're very powerful. I didn't say our enrollment fees are $84. They're $84. I said, so to get started today, it's just the enrollment fee, just $84. You got to break it up. It sounds like less. It's just the $84. And of course, the first month. You always say, and of course, the first month, because they fully expect to pay the first month to get started. But when you break it up like that, it seems much, much less. So very important point here. To get started today, it's just the $84. And of course, the first month, and that comes to $149. You can take care of that with a check or a credit card. Which would you prefer?
I'd like to write a check.
That's wonderful. You hand her the pen, she begins to write.
Next up, Rick Bell has been one of the pioneering leaders in the short evolution of martial arts professionalism. As a longtime chief of the independent funding company, Rick Bell has had a hand in creating the standards for sales and enrollment practices throughout the martial arts industry. Today, he'll be taking us through key areas of the enrollment process and providing keys to managing these vital areas in your school. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Rick Bell. Today, we're going to cover a topic that's very important, and that is how to answer the phone, specifically phone skills. Now, I understand that many of you have been in the martial arts business for many years. You have procedures that you use and you're comfortable with. However, many more of you have procedures for answering the phone that could be improved, you feel like, especially for your staff. Now, you may answer the phone wonderfully, but your staff may have some discomfort answering the phone, knowing exactly what to say, how to handle the person that's calling. So what we're going to do today is show you something that's taken from the Guaranteed Enrollment Tour, and that is how to answer the phone to bring someone in to see what you have to offer in the way of martial arts lessons, because first of all, no one can enroll over the phone. There's an old adage in sales that says, if you can't buy it over the phone, don't try to sell it over the phone. So everything we're going to do with the phone presentation is geared toward bringing the person, the prospect, in to your martial arts center. Now, the first thing, our goal on the telephone is simply to raise the level of comfortability with the person that's calling us, to make friends with them, if you will. Because remember this, people do business with people they like, And the sooner we can make friends with this person, the better off we're going to be towards our enrollment. Our ultimate goal is getting them to enroll, not just spending time talking with them, shooting the breeze on the telephone. So the way we do that is to keep it short and sweet. The initial call that they make, you understand the more information you give them on the phone, the less likely they are to feel they need to get in their car, drive down to where you are, and see what you actually have to offer. So we don't want to give them too much information because it kind of cools off their curiosity. Now what we want to do is to pique their curiosity, because not any of you out there can really adequately describe what you have to offer over the telephone. Don't they have to see your center to really understand what you can do for them? Of course they do. So that's what we're going to do with the phone presentation. Now, using the phone really should be very easy for most martial artists, simply because it relates the same way you would relate to teaching a class and taking control of a class in a classroom situation. You take control of the phone the same way. What I mean is, many of you are very comfortable. In fact, most of you are right at home in front of a group of people telling white belts how to kick, showing yellow belts, orange belts, green belts, the different moves. Now, what if the white belts took over that class? Well, obviously you wouldn't get very much accomplished. What if the orange belts took over and taught the class? Well, there would be a certain ceiling as to how much information they could give. You take control of the class and you run the class. And I submit to you that's the same way you use the telephone, in a controlling manner. Now, when I say control, that doesn't mean that you become manipulative or anything like that with a person, or that they feel controlled. But you are in charge. They're calling for information. They don't know what information to ask. Therefore, you have to control the phone conversation to bring them in, because again, you can't give it to them over the phone. It doesn't do your program justice. Now, how do we take control? That's the key question. Well, we use something called a pivot. I call the pivot question the, is this for yourself or for someone else? Now, all of you have used this in some variation, shape, or form through the years, but we're going to explain it today in detail and why it's very important. You take control of what we call an interview by asking questions. If you've ever been in a courtroom or ever been around attorneys, that's how they control the information, by asking certain questions. Now, you must do the same thing. Understand, the one who asks the questions controls the interview. Now, once again, we want to keep it short and sweet. The only information we need from the initial phone call, and in just a moment we're going to actually role play this and go through it step by step, but the only information you need is the name of the person calling, the child's name, the child's age, and of course the phone number. Now, that's just four things. The old way of doing this, and I've done this myself, was to ask them how they heard about the martial arts, have you ever studied before, etc., etc., etc. That's too much information to try to gain from the initial phone call. Now, I know this is a radically different procedure for some of you, but trust me, when you start to use it this way, this is the way people are accustomed to doing business. It has to be efficient, short to the point, because they've got things they've got to get on with. So when they call initially, you don't go into how did you hear about us today. You'll still get that information, but that will come later in the interview, later on towards the enrollment process. So all we need to do is get the name of the person calling, the child's name they're interested in, the child's age, and the phone number. We're going to actually go into the role playing now, and I'm going to pause throughout it and show you what I'm doing to take control of this conversation. Now, Sarah is with me today, and Sarah is going to be Mrs. Jones, but we'll let her first name be Sarah. She'll be comfortable with that. And we'll actually do the role playing so that some of you can get a taste for how this thing flows, how the whole thing works. Phone rings, and again, the specific wording that I use your own method of answering the telephone, whatever you're using, you're comfortable with. I'm going to use what we use at USA Karate. Good morning, USA Karate. This is Rick. How may I help you?
Yes, I was calling to get some information on your classes.
Great. Are these classes for yourself or for someone else?
They're for my son.
Your son, and what's his name?
His name is Johnny.
At this point, I begin to write. I have my information sheet and my pen in hand. His name is Johnny. And how old is Johnny?
He's 8.
He's 8. Great. We have some wonderful kids programs. At this point on the phone, I have to start talking about why she called. She called because she wants benefits for Johnny. I got Johnny's name, he's 8 years old, and immediately after that, before I say anything else, I give her some benefits. That's why she called. We have some great kids programs. We've seen success in areas such as self-esteem, discipline, improved grades in school, conduct, in many areas like that. My name is Rick. Who am I speaking with?
My name is Sarah.
Sarah. And you're John's mom?
Yes.
Right. Excellent. Sarah, have you ever visited our center before?
No, I haven't.
Right. Do you know where we're located?
No, I don't.
Okay. We're on the corner of 4th Street and Main Street, and we're right next door to a Subway sandwich shop. You kind of know where I'm talking about, that gentleman?
Yeah, I believe so.
Excellent. The best thing for you to do is let me invite you to come in. Let me meet with you and meet Johnny, show you around, give you a tour, answer any questions you may have, and just kind of familiarize you with what we can do for Johnny in the area, such as self-esteem and discipline, and those things I spoke about earlier. I guess you work during the day?
Yes, I do.
Oh, great. You're off at 5:30 then?
Yes, I
do. Okay, how about 6:30 this evening? Is that a good time to come in? It'll take about 15 minutes.
That would be perfect.
Excellent. I'm writing you down for 6:30 this evening, Sarah, and let me have your phone number just in case we miss connections.
297-5213.
Very good, Sarah. My name is Rick once again, and I'll be expecting you about 6:30. Great. See you then.
Thank you very much.
Right. Now, we're going to go back through that step by step, and I'll show you what I did. But the main thing was to see in that was that I took control of the situation and asked her questions. But it was in a non-threatening way. It was very friendly. Again, it was short. It did not take much time. The goal is to get an appointment from her, to cause her to come in at 6:30. Now, one of the things you want to do when you're actually on the phone with a prospect is you want to smile. Now, can that prospect see you? Well, obviously not. But by smiling and talking, that comes through the phone line. That's enthusiasm. That's happiness. And that's what we're doing here. We're trying to sell a positive experience, not a negative experience. So when your phone rings, you should make a rule of getting excited. Can't wait to get to it. I've heard some school owners answer the phone, "Yeah, this is karate school. What do you want?" Because they were in the middle of a workout. Now, I submit to you, let's be excited when the phone rings, pick it up, and say, "Hi, we're having a great day," or whatever you do, because that starts the whole process. So we're going to go through this again, and I'm going to have an objection from her, and that objection is going to be on the time. We'll run through this three times so that you can fully understand how we're doing this. Good afternoon, USA Karate. This is Rick. How may I help you?
Yes, I was calling to get some information on your classes.
Great. Are these classes for yourself or for someone else?
They're for my son.
Your son, and what's your son's name?
His name is Johnny.
Johnny, and how old is Johnny?
He's 8.
8 years old is a great age to get him started. We've got wonderful kids programs. We see success in areas such as self-esteem, discipline, improved grades in school, better conduct at home, just a lot of areas. This is Rick. Who am I speaking with?
My name is Sarah.
Sarah, hi. And you're John's mom?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. Sarah, have you been to our center before?
No, I haven't.
Never visited? The best thing for you to do is let me invite you to come in and bring Johnny. Let me meet with you guys, show you around the center, give you a tour, answer any questions you may have. Do you know where we're located?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay, we're at the corner of 4th Street and Main Street, directly next to the Subway sandwich shop. Now, it's important at this point, if they say they do know where you're located, you tell them anyway, because they may be confused and they may think you or you may be your competitor down the street, and that's where they may show up for their appointment. So make sure if I said, "Do you know where we're located?" and she says yes.
Yes.
We are at the corner of 4th and Main Street. You go ahead and tell them, even if they say yes. The best thing for you to do is let me invite you in. I guess you work during the day.
Yes, I do.
Get off at 5:30. Now, that's a nice way to find out if they have a job. All right? That's a logical question. I didn't say, "Do you have a job?" I said, "I guess you work during the day and you're off at 5:30. You string that question along. She says, "Yes, I'm off at 5:30. I immediately make an assumption and say, "How about 6:30 tonight?" Because it's the best time to get them in is today, right now. Best time to come. Don't let them cool off. I say, "How about 6:30 tonight?
Tonight's a bad night for us.
Okay, how about 7 o'clock tomorrow night? Or you tell me a good time.
7 tomorrow would be fine.
Excellent. Let me get your phone number.
297.
Very good. Now, notice what I did. I picked the next night. I said, "Well, how about 7 o'clock tomorrow night? Or you tell me a good time." All right? Now, by doing that, there's something in sales called an alternate of choice, and we've used this for many years, and it is simply saying, I have a 6:30 and a 7:30. Which is better for you? Now, when you say that, you understand red flags are probably going to go up with the person you're talking to on the phone because they've heard this before. You understand they've heard this since the early 1980s because every insurance salesman, every thing that would invite you to come in so they can close you gives you an alternate of choice. So what I'm saying is if you use the same old procedures, they're going to cause people to be uncomfortable with you. So we don't want to use alternates of choice if we can help it. So she chose 7 o'clock and she's coming in. Now the final phase is the individual that calls and just wants to know how much it is. Now we have to understand that there are different reasons a person calls, and if they're calling just to see how much your classes are, period, they're not what I call a qualified prospect. A qualified prospect is someone who can afford your program and wants to be a part of it. So if they just want the cheapest school in town, unless you are the cheapest school in town, you're not going to get them, and I trust that you're not the cheapest school in town. They may be calling just to appease their child that's saying, I want to take karate, and they're saying, I tell you it costs too much. So all they do is pick the phone up and call you and say, how much is it? And you try to avoid that question, but they come back to it. How much is it? And you tell them, they hang the phone up and directly tell their child, I told you it was too much. You can't afford it. We can't afford it. So let's talk about that person that calls and is a true prospect that wants to know how much it is. And I've gone through the phone presentation, and I am at some point, and she basically says to me, yeah, I just wanted to know how much it is. We're some way into the presentation. Now, the way I deal with it is I give her an answer, but then I turn it around and start asking questions again, because if I don't do that, I'm going to lose control of the conversation. Watch how I do that. Okay, she says, I'm going to be in the presentation. So we have great classes for kids, and we see results in areas such as discipline. Have you been into our center before?